I don't wanna be the boy that runs in the back. I don't wanna be the kid that falls in the dark. All I really want to be is the guy that gets that girl.
Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. We discuss politics, sex, money, and everything in between. And now, here's your host, an immigrant, a self-made millionaire, an American, AJ Steele.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another great episode of the AJ Steele Show. Today we have a very special guest who happens to be a major mover and shaker in American politics and in the conservative Jewish world. His name is Morton Klein, and he is the president of the Zionist Organization of America, also known as the ZOA. Morton, as you'll soon find out, is not a shrieking violet. He said some things about Barack Obama and Black Lives Matter and Kanye West, not to mention liberal Hollywood actress Natalie Portman and the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, which got him in some serious deep water with the leftist media and even with fellow Jewish organizations. So you can fully trust me when I tell you that our upcoming interview is not going to be over tea and crumpets. It's going to be a wild one, and you'll be hearing it in a few minutes. Now, as you know, our show has become extremely popular, and it's gaining many more listeners by the day. But with increased popularity comes an increase in promoters and talent agents who call us trying to book new guests for interviews. Some of them are actually really famous people trying to hawk a book or a movie or a personal appearance. And believe it or not, I refused to interview some huge politicians and authors because I didn't feel that they would tell the truth. Plus, I'm not going to become a shill for anyone whom I don't believe in. Now, those of you who have listened to us for the last couple of years know that I talk to all kinds of people, from Juanita Broderick, who was raped by Bill Clinton, to Ward Connerly, the famous civil rights activist, and folks like Breitbart's Alam Bakari, and outspoken journalists like Susan Dyer Reynolds, Ruthie Bloom, White House whistleblower Mike McCormick, Rabbi Michael Barclay. And as a matter of fact, one of our greatest interviews of all time was with a world-renowned Harvard psychiatrist, Dr. Sheldon Roth, who talked about the transgenderism and the COVID scams long before all the rest of the conservative world caught on to it. And we have some incredible new interviews in the works with folks like Robert Kennedy Jr., Dr. Robert Malone, and Amy Wax. But what am I leading to, you may ask? Besides the fact that I'm laying it pretty thick and I'm patting my own back, what I'm leading to is that today's guest, Mr. Morton Klein, who is the president of the Zionist Organization of America, also known as the ZOA, is cut from the same cloth. Morton Klein, who happens to be an extremely bright man, is also the kind of man who doesn't mince words. He's a man with a mission, a man who has made it his point to get to know many presidents and congress members and world leaders in his singular mission to support Israel and to protect the Jewish people. Now, he didn't come on our show to talk world politics and media gossip. He came to talk Israel. But despite that fact, he gave me some personal insights into Barack Obama's mindset and Biden. But more important, he gave me some insights into President Trump. And he even gave me a scoop about Ron DeSantis. He told me some things about Mr. DeSantis, which I've never known before, and which may answer the question, is he planning to run for president against Donald Trump or not? Now, I was going to do a long intro about how Jews in Israel are the canary in a coal mine, because in many ways they are. But I won't belabor it, except to ask you to think about one thing. The people who hate Israel are in general the same exact people who hate America and Christianity and conservatism and tradition. They are the progressive lefties who support Antifa and BLM, unfettered abortion, insane transgenderism, and anti-white racism. Nothing happens in a vacuum, and while Israel may not be on the top of most American people's minds, they would be amiss if they didn't realize that the destruction of Israel is a part of a master plan that would eventually destroy our nation as well. Before I take our first break and yield the stage to Mr. Klein, I wanted to tell you a little story that Mrs. Steele told me many years ago. When we first met in college, she was working as a waitress to support herself and to pay for school. And one of the waitresses whom she worked with, who was very nice but not very informed, told her that Israel is the worst country in the world because it tries to oppress the Arabs and take over the entire Middle East. When Mrs. Steele, who was just my girlfriend back then, asked her where she heard all of this, she answered that she saw it on the news. She said she's not very political and she never watches the news, but that's what she knew about Israel. The next day, my wife brought her one of our college books with a map of the Middle East in it. I think that Mrs. Steele was taking a world history class or something like that, and then she showed her the map and asked her to find Israel. The waitress couldn't. Israel was so tiny compared to all the Arab countries that it was barely visible on the map. So then my wife pointed to the tiny dot that is Israel and told her, "This is Israel, and these are the Arab nations. Do you still think that Israel is the one taking over everybody's lands?" The waitress was stunned. She said, "Wow, I didn't know." But now she finally understood. So you see, that's why it's important to learn and verify truths and not just listen to the corrupt media or school teachers or college professors who fill our heads with their ugly, hateful biases. During a private conversation I had with Morten Klein, who will be joining me in a few seconds, he told me something that was so pure and yet so elusive for so many of us. He said, "AJ, the truth is not a political position." And he was right. The truth is always the truth, no matter how you try to dress it up and varnish it with lies. Ladies and gentlemen, before I take our first break, I would like to once again thank you for making our podcast such a great rating success in America and actually all over the world. Please remember to subscribe to us and spread the word about us to your family and friends. It will never cost you anything to listen and subscribe to us, but it will be a great honor for me if you join our family. Okay, I think I talked enough for now. Let me take our first break, and we will be right back with Morten Klein. This is AJ Steele. All I really want to
be is the guy that gets the girl. The AJ Steele Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wives, because he tells it just like it is. Finally.
Mr. Klein, welcome to the AJ Steele Show.
I've heard about you for a long time. It's an honor to be with you today.
Well, the honor is all mine. I've been following your career for many years now, and I admire the fact that unlike so many politicians and prominent Jewish Americans, you never seem to hold back. I've seen you attack Barack Hussein Obama when practically all other American Jews were kissing up to him, not to mention that you said that Natalie Portman is beautiful but not too bright, and you even dared to take on the anti-Semitism of BLM and Antifa when the so-called Jewish intelligentsia was still extolling their virtues. And now you've taken on, successfully I might add, on someone whom I consider to be a low IQ punk, Kanye West. Look, I promised to ask you about all these folks because our listeners are asking me about them, but I wanted to start by finding out from you where you got your passion. So would you please tell our audience a little bit about your history from the beginning and how you've decided to start bucking the norms and telling it like it is?
Well, I'm a child of Holocaust survivors. My father was in Auschwitz. My mother was in Siberia during the Holocaust. I lost virtually my entire family. I never met my grandparents. My father lost his first family. He lost 8 brothers and sisters. My mother lost half her family. And I was born in a displaced persons camp in Germany, in Neu-Ulm, Germany. It happens to be the suburb of where Albert Einstein was born. In fact, I went all over that town. I saw nothing but statues of Albert Einstein, not a single one of me. I was very disappointed. Anyway, but... And we came to America, and to make a long story short, just really to get to the point, I love mathematics. I taught math in high school and college. I worked as a biostatistician doing medical research with the greatest chemist, 2-time Nobel Prize winning chemist who ever lived, Linus Pauling, doing medical research with him. That was an extraordinary experience. And my wife began to complain that I'm not using any talents that God may have blessed me with for my people, our people. The Jewish people in Israel, she said, they're getting bashed in the media. The whole world hates them. Anti-Semitism is bad. Even 30 years ago, my wife brought this up. And I said, I don't know anything. How can I fight for Israel? I couldn't answer a single question about it. Look, I care about Israel. So I read everything to learn everything. And then my daughter came home with a history textbook. used in 200 high schools and universities, the best-selling history textbook in the country. Every paragraph about Israel had one or more lies. Every paragraph about Israel had one or more lies. I went to the school board meeting. I complained. The Jewish members of the board wanted me to stop this. This is bad for the Jews. It only increased anti-Semitism. The Christians wanted me to continue because they don't want their kids learning falsehoods. They didn't care especially about Jews or Israel, but it's not true. We don't want them to learn it. Fortunately, the superintendent wasn't Jewish. I sent a letter to the with him to the textbook company. Anyhow, I rewrote the text. I had other successes. The biggest travel guide company in the world, Baedeker's Travel Books. It's the oldest, most prestigious travel company. Their guide to Israel and Jerusalem, 100 lies. I wrote articles about it. They invited me to come to Germany. They hired me to rewrite the textbook. I did. I did many such things. People from the Zionist Organization of America came to me, said, we'd like you to be the national president, to run for it. I said, I don't know how to be president. I don't want to be president. It doesn't pay any money. This is, I want this. I said, look, you can't win. You're running against an incumbent. But we think if you run, it'll make him more inspired to be activists. And I said something no politician will ever say. I said, if you promise me I won't win, I'll run. I ran and won. And the very first thing I did is fight Oslo. The Oslo, predicting this will lead to disaster, that Arafat's been a career terrorist, a career Jew hater, a career America hater. The entire Jewish world supported it. I didn't. I was bitterly attacked already as a warmonger, as an extremist. Of course, we now see that it was a disaster. And then I fought against the Gaza withdrawal, Israeli policy of throwing 10,000 Jews out of Gaza and northern Samaria. I said this will lead to a Hamas entity and missiles will come flying. We had a vote in the organized Jewish world, the umbrella group of which ZOA is a charter member. The vote was 50-1. ZOA was the only one to vote against throwing the Jews out of Gaza. The only one. That means every group voted for it. AIPAC, AJ Committee, ADL, Orthodox Union, CAMRA, JINSA, everyone. Only ZOA. And now we see it was a disaster. And then you mentioned that 2 years ago, I wrote an op-ed against Black Lives Matter, simply writing about what their charter says, calling Israel an apartheid genocidal state, that Israel trains police to murder blacks. Israel trains U.S. police. Insanity. And I said, this is a vicious anti-Semitic, anti-white racist group. I said, the Southern Poverty Law Center should put them on their list of hate groups. And the Jewish world went ballistic. 51 Jewish leaders signed a petition calling me a racist, demanding I be thrown out of every group. They didn't refute a single thing that I wrote. They just called me a name. And of course, I continued my fight. We now see openly and clearly what a corrupt, racist group Black Lives Matter is to this day. And remember, I was talking about Black Lives Matter, the group. I wasn't talking about all blacks. I was talking about that organization.
Of course.
The only people who defended me were Melanie Phillips, Caroline Glick, and Alan Dershowitz defended me. He figures if he can defend Trump, he can defend me. So,
yes.
I apologize. Not a single, now that we see how horrible that group is, not a single Jewish leader apologized to me for that awful attack on me.
Well, the Jewish people have always been in war with themselves. You can go to the Bible and look at that. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you about more recent developments. So as the president of the Zionist Organization of America, you sure seem to have a gargantuan task that is getting harder and harder every day. This is not the America of 30 years ago. Heck, it's not even the America of 15 years ago. It seems to me like our nation is racing towards a moral and societal decline, which only leads to anarchy. I mean, this is the kind of reality where anything goes, violence, lawlessness, loss of civility. And we all know that these type of times are horrible to all people of tradition and religion and Christians and conservatives. But there is one race of people which always seems to take the brunt of this anarchy and bloodlust. In our private conversation before this show, you told me something that shocked me. You said that you've never been as scared about the future as you are now. Would you please elaborate on what you told me for our audience?
Well, as a Jew and a human being and as an American, we've seen Jew hatred rising dramatically on campuses, in the media, in Congress. And there's no pushback. If you say anything at all hostile to most other groups, from blacks to Hispanics to gays, you'll be attacked bitterly. There'll be pushback beyond belief. You can't do it. If you condemn Jews, there's no problem whatsoever. And I think the reason this is happening is because of no pushback, including in Congress. And this is the biggest thing. We've never had so many open public anti-Semites, Jew haters, in Congress as we have now. Ilhan Omar of Minnesota has called Israel evil, has said Jews get support in Congress only because we bribe them. They support boycotting Israel. They call Israel an apartheid racist state. Rashida Tlaib says all the same things. And let me read you, Joe Biden, a few months ago, our president said, I admire Rashida Tlaib's intellect, passion, concern for people. You're a fighter and God thanks you for it. So Biden praised an overt Jew hater, by the way, America hater too, AOC from Queens, the same types of vicious lies against Israel and Jews and many others. And there's been no pushback. Charles Schumer and Pelosi have refused to criticize them by name. They had a resolution initially criticizing by name, and the Black Caucus told them, if you do that, we're not going to be supporting you. You're going to have trouble from us. So they backed off, and they just made a general condemnation of anti-Semitism. That doesn't do it. Anti-Semites are not intimidated by saying, I condemn anti-Semitism. They're intimidated if you say, I condemn AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman, Ilhan Omar for their bigotry and more. They refuse to do it. We at ZOA have begged them and begged the leaders in the Congress to throw these congresspeople off of every committee because of their bigotry, just like as Republicans have done for far less bigotry, far less. They've thrown people off every committee. We've asked that. We've asked other Jewish leaders, AIPAC, ADL, AJ Committee, to help us with this. They have refused. And that's why they're getting away with it. The Wow. organized Jewish community has not been pushing back on this, and they've not been pushing back on the fact that in mosques throughout the country, we have the videotapes. Imams are calling for the murder of Jews, the murder of Jews. Not just we hate Jews, they're no good. They're calling for violence, and they're afraid to do anything about it. And who now is physically attacking the Jews in Brooklyn, in Crown Heights, in Muncie, in Jersey City, in L.A.? What group of people are disproportionately attacking Jews?
Yep.
It's Blacks. I'm not saying that against all Blacks, but it's Blacks. And when I say this now in my speeches, people start screaming, I'm a racist. It's Blacks who are attacking us. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't know why it's them. We have to figure out why and have Black leaders who might have some power with these hoodlums to condemn it publicly. So the Jewish communal world has not pushed back in any way, shape, or form. And in general, of course, we have George Soros, whose former name was Schwartz until it was changed to Soros, funding the most radical left-wing district attorneys in the country. These races normally spend $100,000 to $200,000 for a campaign. He gives them $1.5 million. So they all win. And now they've eliminated bail. They don't arrest people. If you steal under $900, it's nothing. And we see this crime, violent and theft going on all over, where you have stores closing throughout the country because they can't make a profit with all this crime. And this woke nonsense is going on in the military, where people and universities, they're looking at quotas. How many Blacks? How many women? How many gays? That will hurt the country because we only want the best people in every position. If the best people are Black, I want every position filled by Blacks. The best by gays, by gays. Best women, by women. I want the best people. That's how the country will grow, prosper, and be strong. And now we're not doing it. I believe there's a sinister effort to undermine America's survival as a strong country, that this is intentional. And I'm very, very worried. I'm sorry I spoke too long on that.
That's okay, Morton. I like your passion, and I agree with what you're saying. I'm going to have to take a short break right now, and we will be right back with Morton Klein, president of the Zionist Organization of America. This is the A.J. Steele Show.
You are listening to the A.J. Steele Show, where no topic is off limits, no discussion too harsh, no truth more true. The A.J. Steele Show. We tell it like it is.
All I really want to be is a guy that gets the girl. All I really want to be.
You know, I had the bad luck of going to college in San Francisco, and even back then in the 90s, there was already a huge contingency of Muslims and radical Black students who were very aggressive in their attacks on white people and on Zionism, which has become a dirty word in progressive circles. The same circles who have practically taken over the Democratic Party. Would you please define What is Zionism for our
Zionism
audience?
Is simply the right of the Jewish people to have a little tiny state, smaller than New Jersey, smaller than Massachusetts, smaller than Rhode Island, in the Middle East. A land given to the Jewish people by God, if you believe in the Bible, made legal by the Jewish people, by the League of Nations, San Remo Conference, the United Nations. And all Zionism means is that Jews have rights to have their own state. There are 57 Muslim states, 57. And in the Middle East, there are 23 Arab states, 23. And those states are double the size of the United States. Israel is 1/8 of 1% the size of the Middle East countries, 1/8 of 1%. And all Zionism says is the Jews have a right to live in peace in this little tiny country. It means nothing more than that. And yet you see all these groups in college attacking Israel with nonsense lies. They don't attack Iran. They don't attack Syria. They don't attack Venezuela, Cuba, Russia, China, vicious human rights abusers. And they don't attack the Palestinian Authority. And do you know what the Palestinian Authority does when you talk about human rights abuse? They pay Arabs lifetime pensions to murder Jews. If you murder a Jew, Mahmoud Abbas gives you a lifetime pension whose average pay is 5 times the average of an average Palestinian. It's very lucrative to murder Jews. And the more Jews they murder, the higher the pay. They spend $450 million a year on these pensions. And Trump was so horrified by this, he said, we're cutting all aid to the Palestinians. Biden has reinstated the aid and more. But you see, none of these college kids condemning the most vicious human rights abuse on earth by the Palestinian Authority. Only the Jews, one of the greatest human rights loving countries in the world, are attacked with lies.
So I've always felt that attacks on Zionism were veiled attacks at Judaism. It's much more acceptable to say you're an anti-Zionist than an anti-Semite. But they're both the same thing, aren't they?
If you're opposed to the Jewish state's existence, you hate Jews. I assure you, if you oppose Mexico existing, I think pretty certain you don't like Mexicans. If you oppose Italy's existence, I assure you, you hate Italians. So if you hate Israel's existence, you hate Jews. Mm. Anti-Zionism is identical to Jew hatred. There is no difference whatsoever.
I couldn't agree with you anymore about this. Now, I told you I was going to get back to Obama and his many, how should I say, philosophical children and acolytes. A couple of days ago, I read that Israel's former prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, said something that I've believed in from the moment Barack Obama was elected. Netanyahu said that Obama had not just bad policy, but malice towards Israel. Now, this is a big accusation. Look, I always felt that Obama also had a pathological hatred of America and Americans as well. What are your thoughts on Obama and the damage he did to America and to international relations?
Barack Hussein Obama was the most hostile president to Israel and Jews we've ever had. And I believe the most hostile president to America. I met with Barack Obama at the White House, in the White House. He said to me, you need to speak to your friends and relatives in Israel and see if they're serious about peace, because I don't think they are. But Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian Arabs are sincere about peace, and everyone knows it. I'm giving you exact quotes.
Wow.
And by the way, you can keep the Jewish areas of Jerusalem. You can't keep the Arab areas. He's now deciding for Israel what the resolution will be. So in addition, he tried to cut the aid to build the Iron Dome, a very important military, defensive military thing. He tried to cut it in half. Didn't want Israel to have an anti-missile system that worked. Congress reinstated the money, and then Obama took credit. But he tried, I know, I'm on the Hill. He tried to kill at least half the money to that. Obama organized a resolution among the Security Council and got a resolution passed saying all the land past the 67 line is Arab land and Israel's occupying it. That means the Jewish section of Jerusalem is Arab land, the Temple Mount, Judaism's holiest place, Hebrew University, Hadassah Hospital, that's all Arab land. And we put enormous pressure on him. Of course, to veto this, he refused. He abstained. He refused. But let me tell you something else. A few months before this happened, I spoke to Chuck Schumer, and I said to him, I'm very worried in his last days as president, he's going to do something monstrous in the UN. Schumer said, don't worry, he will never do it. He knows all hell would break loose. And I begged him to publicly speak out against it. He did not. And then you see what happened. He did get this resolution passed and refused to veto it. So Obama By the way, he compared Israeli actions to Nazi actions in his first speech in Egypt.
I remember.
When Mubarak, I think he was the president of Egypt, when he came for his talk in Egypt, when he just became president, he invited the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yep.
Obama did. Mubarak says, don't you dare do that. They're my enemy. I'm not coming if you invite them. Obama said, tough. He invited them and put them in the second row, prime spot, even against what Mubarak wanted. Now, this man was hostile to America, hostile to Israel, hostile to Jews. And I even, after that resolution passed in the UN, I wrote that Barack Hussein Obama is a Jew-hating anti-Semite. It was redundant, but I called him a Jew-hating. He's now proven it. Over the years, he's been horrible. This proves it. When I wrote that article, three synagogues where I had the plans scheduled already to speak at canceled me. Three synagogues canceled my speaking engagement with them because I called Barack Hussein Obama an anti-Semite, which he is.
Well, that's American free speech for you, right? But Obama is gone, at least from the headlines.
No. Obama is behind the scenes and Valerie Jarrett working with Biden. Not only have people told me that, but almost every appointment that Biden has made, important posts, are friends of Obama. So he is not gone. He's just behind the scenes. And he can achieve much more because you have an image of someone who really is not a centrist, an image of a centrist. So he's been able to do many, much more radical policies getting through than he could do himself. So I do not believe he's gone.
Well, whoever's in control, and I'm not even discounting or even disagreeing with what you just said, whoever's in control is 100% committed to making a horrible nuclear deal with Iran. What are your thoughts on the relentless push by the State Department and the Biden administration to practically give up everything to placate the mullahs? Now, when this deal happens, and we all know that it will happen, do you really think that it will keep those insane Islamists from getting a nuke?
Well, this is more proof of Obama's hostility to Israel. He got past a treaty, which he refused to call it that, so he wouldn't have to have a two-thirds approval of the Senate, which gives the right to Iran to develop nukes in 13 years from when this started years ago. There's only a few years left. This treaty that he signed, Obama, gives them the right to have nukes. All bets are off after 13 years from the initial signing. This is not a deal that you sign. Why would he sign? Now, what does he say about that when we spoke to him? I think they'll be moderate by then. In 13 years, they'll moderate. I said, suppose they're not. That's a hell of a risk. I sincerely believe that a factor in Obama putting together this deal is his hostility toward Israel and Jews, and Iran would have capability to do harm. I hope I'm wrong, but I see no other explanation. Remember, this is not just dangerous for Israel and Iran nukes. They scream death to America, death to Israel. They scream them both. Yep. And they're developing missiles now that can reach America and they can carry a nuclear payload. We are in trouble as well as Israel. But who did Biden appoint as the chief negotiator on the deal? A guy named Robert Malley.
Yep.
Robert Malley is the most pro-Iran person that I've ever seen in public life. He's against sanctions on Iran. He says we should learn to live with their nukes. This is who the chief negotiator is. By the way, he's an Egyptian Jewish communist. He's an Egyptian Jew. And
a
friend of mine went to college with him. He said he was writing horrific articles against Israel as a Jew in college, in the college paper when he was in school. So the fact that he appoints Robert Malley, who's a close friend of Obama's, tells you that they're not serious about getting a serious deal.
Look, there's never been a short supply of self-hating Jews who prostitute themselves and sell their souls and act as covers or human shields of a sort for those who hate their own brothers and sisters. I think it was the great King Solomon from the Bible who said that there's nothing new under the sun. Morton Klein, I'm going to have to take a short break, but when we get back, I'm going to have some very pointed questions about Kanye West. This is AJ Steele, and this is the AJ Steele Show.
AJ Steele, not right, not left, just right.
Look, we could talk hours about geopolitics and about the damage the American left and the European progressives are causing the world, But I wanted to touch on recent cultural issues here in America. The other day, a famous rapper, who in my opinion happens to be of a borderline intelligence and suffering from mental illness, started attacking Jewish people with standard anti-Semitic tropes that have been used by racists for years. I'm obviously talking about Kanye West or Ye or Yahoo or whatever his name happens to be. The interesting thing about this guy is that he supports President Trump and actually says some things that many conservatives, including myself, agree with. What are your thoughts about this man and the vile things he said about the Jewish people?
First of all, I don't consider him mentally ill. I consider him evil. He's a horrible human being, dangerous and evil. Once you say mentally ill, it's like excuses what he says. He can't help it. He has mental problems. It's not him. He's a lovely guy, just mentally ill. I don't accept that. It'd be hard for mentally ill people to be as successful in the music world as he is. And he's been very successful. How he's done that, beyond me, but he is. And what's even more troubling about him, besides the fact that he publicly called for the death of all Jews, he called for the murder of all Jews. He said, I support DEATHCON, D-E-A-T-H, 3, against all Jews. DEATHCON? That's murder. He says it publicly. And what is really was disheartening to me is Candace Owens, the Black conservative, another Black conservative, defended him. And she said, you don't know really what he said. DEATHCON 3 against Jews. You don't know what that means. You don't know what he said. And then Candace Owens herself said, I guess in our society, if you even say the word Jewish, they'll call you an anti-Semite. Candace Owens said that. I've now lost respect for Candace Owens.
Well, Candace Owens is getting paid by this guy. And basically, as far as I'm concerned, is in many ways akin to a whore. She's not prostituting her body like a traditional whore, but in many ways, she's prostituting her morals and her soul. And she's smart enough to know better. Now, I feel the same way about him, but in the last few days, I was confronted with an interesting, probably a sad dilemma. As you know, I'm also a very outspoken person. I'm not shy about saying what I think needs to be said. And when I spoke out against Kanye, something very jarring happened. All of a sudden, some of my social media followers and podcast listeners, many of them who claim to be conservatives, started attacking me for daring to put him down and to put down his racism. It seems like some conservatives, in their desperate need to be accepted by a major star, are willing to give racism a pass. And some even agreed with him. They actually openly agreed with his anti-Semitism. I was shocked. This is supposed to be our side. But maybe we don't have a side, do we?
As West has shown, as the people who attack you have shown, there are some conservatives who are Jew haters. In other words, when it comes to Jews, they're not so conservative. And this is Jew hatred. Mm-hmm. There are a number of conservatives who have attacked Jews, that's for sure. And it's deeply troubling. And that's why it is very important to push back, to condemn Candace Owens, to tell Ben Shapiro to stop paying her and giving her a platform, to tell Dennis Prager to stop paying her and giving her a platform. She has to feel consequences. If she doesn't feel consequences, she'll continue doing it. That's why it's important to jump on this. That's why people are afraid to say anything negative about gays or Blacks, because they know people will jump down their throats. And it stopped a lot of this inappropriate statements against these other groups. So that's what has to happen. And it is sad to find out that even conservatives can be Jew haters, even while they're conservative.
Look, Ben Shapiro and Dennis Prager aside, I think Candace Owens found a new sugar daddy, so she might not need them anymore. Now, speak of sides, on the other side, my favorite ex-president, Donald Trump, wrote something on Truth Social that every pearl-clutching progressive Jew and Israel hater on the left had a major hissy fit about. He wrote, and I quote, "No president has done more for Israel than I have. Somewhat surprisingly, however, our wonderful evangelicals are far more appreciative of this than the people of the Jewish faith, especially those living in the U.S. Those living in Israel, though, are a different story. I have the highest ratings in the world. I could easily be their prime minister. U.S. Jews have to get their act together and appreciate what they have in Israel before it's too late." Now, I agree with everything Donald Trump said. Do you have a problem with it?
Interesting. He made the statement 2 days after ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America, ZOA.org, if you want to go on our site, publicly announced, we are giving President Donald Trump our highest award, the Theodore Herzl Gold Medallion. that we've only given to Menachem Begin, Ben Gurion, Winston Churchill, because he has been the greatest friend to Israel we've ever had in the White House. And as I tell people, we are, ZOA is a pro-Israel, pro-Jewish organization. We focus on that. Other issues is not our issue. And on that issue, he has been spectacular. And our Torah, our Bible, teaches us to express gratitude when good things have happened to you. We want to tell Mr. Trump, we appreciate what you've done for Israel and the Jewish people, and we thank you for it. So it is true. Not a single Jewish organization I'm aware of has given him an award for what he's done for Israel. If he was a liberal, there'd be awards coming out of his ears. So I think he's right. And what he said was, if you are not showing appreciation to your friends and instead showing appreciation to people who are not your friends, bad things are going to happen. That was not a threat. It was a warning. It was a warning. So I agree with his statement that Jews have not shown appreciation because they haven't. And that's why ZOA wants to rectify that, at least to some extent, by honoring him on November 13th, Pier 60 in New York City. You can go on our website, zoa.org, and find that all about. We're also honoring Kevin McCarthy, who, if the Republicans win, will be Speaker of the House. Jason Greenblatt, one of the architects of the Abraham Accords, Israeli General Avivi. And Miri Adelson is going to be giving the award to President Trump, Sheldon Adelson's wife. And Alan Dershowitz is going to be giving the award to Jason Greenblatt. And we agree with Donald Trump. We have not expressed appreciation for what he's done for Israel and the Jewish people. He's even helped us file lawsuits against anti-Semites on campuses. He's helped with that as well.
So I agree about Donald Trump. He was a wonderful president to Israel, and yet he didn't get any kind of respect from the Jewish community, which is very sad. Now, I do want to make the distinction that when I'm talking about the Jewish community at large, I'm talking about the progressive Jews, the lefty, secular, mostly non-religious Jews. As far as I know, a large percentage of Jews who happen to be conservative or orthodox are huge supporters of President Trump. I guess the next question is, where do you think this whole thing is going? To me, it appears that anti-Semitism is becoming normalized again and accepted by both sides of the political spectrum. And yet most Jews are either nonchalant about it or frozen in fear and inaction. We know that the Europeans are anti-Semitic. We know the Muslims are. But in your opinion, is America also an anti-Semitic nation at its core?
Look, Jew hatred, I like to use the word Jew hatred. It's clear what we're saying. And I hate when I say anti-Semitism to an Arab group. They'll say, well, we're Semites, so we can't be anti-Semitic. So I said, fine, Jew hatred. Got it? You're not Jews. By the way, that's another thing that Kanye West says. He says, I can't be anti-Jewish because the blacks are the actual Jews. So I said, I wrote to him and I said, then Kanye, why don't I see you in synagogue fasting on Yom Kippur? Why aren't you keeping the Sabbath? Why aren't you keeping kosher? Why aren't you praying? Why aren't you laying tefillin? Why, what kind of hell kind of Jew are you? So, I mean, it's nonsense.
Of course.
Jew hatred is becoming legitimized in mainstreams because we're not pushing back against the anti-Semites. And another factor, and I believe, that college kids who start railing against the Jewish state of Israel and supporting the Palestinian Arabs is because we Jewish leaders, ZOA excluded, Israeli leaders, rabbis, Jewish media, don't tell the truth of the Arab war against Israel. We don't make it clear to college kids and everyone they're paying Arabs to murder Jews. Palestinian Authority is aiming hundreds of schools, streets, and sports teams after Jew killers. They're honoring and glorifying them. You know, there's a fight about Jerusalem that the Arabs say, we want Jerusalem. Why aren't we telling the truth about Jerusalem? It's only been the capital under King David of a Jewish state. It's never been the capital of any other state. The majority of people living in Jerusalem since the first census, 1850, have been Jews. The Jewish holy books names Jerusalem 700 times. It's never in the Quran. Jerusalem is not holy to Muslims. This is a lie. Settlements, the college kids go crazy about settlements. There's not been a single new settlement built since 1993 when the Oslo agreements were signed. Any buildings within the boundaries of the existing settlements. Occupation. Occupation means you stole someone else's sovereign land. There was never a country named Palestine. It was never anyone's sovereign land. I have details on it. I won't go into it. There's no occupation. And statehood, you know, people are screaming, just give them a state. They were offered a state four times in the last 20 years by Ehud Barak and Ehud Olmert. And I asked Ehud Olmert, the prime minister of Israel, how did he not accept? You offered 97% of Judea and Samaria, disputed West Bank, 3% of Israel proper to make up for the 3% you weren't giving him because there's hundreds of thousands of Jews there. and half of Jerusalem. Why didn't he take it? He said, Abbas said to me, I won't sign an agreement that says I accept Israel as a Jewish state. I'll never accept an agreement that says I can't bring millions of refugees into Israel. And I won't sign an agreement that says no further claims that the war is over. So the statehood is not the answer. They don't even want it if it means accepting Israel. And these truths and many more are not preached by Israeli leaders or Jewish leaders. I blame ourselves for people not understanding the truth and ending up hating Jews because they believe that Israel is a racist apartheid state, which is a gigantic lie.
Well, you're a lot more positive than I am because you actually believe that the world is fair and that people care for the truth. I'm going to have to take a short break now. And when we get back, I'm going to ask you some questions about a governor from a little state called Florida, whom you seem to know very well. And I might even ask you some questions of his aspirations and his plans regarding the 2024 presidential race. This is AJ Steele, and we will be right back.
The AJ Steele Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wives, because he tells it just like it is. Finally see your love
belongs to me. Welcome to the last segment of our show. I'm sitting here with Morton Klein, president of the ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America. So, Morton, we talked a lot about folks who don't like Jewish people, anti-Semites, Jew haters, Jews that don't stand up for fellow Jews. But let's talk about some good ones. Could you point out some, let's just point out a couple of people on Capitol Hill, for example, whom you consider to be fine Americans and good friends of the Jewish people and of Israel?
The two best friends now in Congress, well, he's not dying. The best friend we ever had in Congress, Ron DeSantis. There was nobody as good on Israel. He was number one, not one of the best. He'd always invite me to be and testify because he knew I'd be strong. He was the best friend Israel ever had, the second best friend in Congress, who's still in Congress, but running for governor, Lee Zeldin. He's running for governor in New York. He's as good as DeSantis. They're the best friends we had.
But people can say DeSantis lives in Florida and he needs that Jewish vote because there's a lot of Jewish people. There's a big electorate over there.
I don't think his congressional district was so heavily Jewish. He just says Israel's in the right, the Arabs are in the wrong. It's a matter of ethics and morality. He would call me and he'd say, Trump is not moving the embassy. More, what should we do? He's not doing it.
Really?
I said, have a hearing. He had a hearing. Trump is not recognizing the Golan. Should I have a hearing? Yes. He had a hearing.
He's that good.
Yes.
Wow.
He's that good. Better than any Jew I know. And yet the Jews... He called me up after he was elected and he said, Mort, what kind of Jewish vote I got? It's tremendous. I said, what percentage? 35%.
That's it.
I said, 65% voted against you. He said, Mort, 35 was unbelievable. He's bragging about 35%. Two-thirds of the Jews voted against the best friend we ever had. He says, Mort, my first trip as governor out of the state, I want to go to Israel. Will you come with me? I said, of course I will. I went with him to his first trip as governor. And in Israel, in Jerusalem, he brought his whole cabinet. At his first cabinet meeting, he made deals with Israel universities and Florida universities, Israel high tech and Florida high tech, to have a closer bond between Israel and Florida. This is a great man. This is a great, great man.
So you know him a bit better than I do, obviously. Did he tell you, is he going to run against Trump?
No, he told me he will not run against Trump if Trump runs. But if he doesn't run, he's going to run for president.
Well, Morton, I thought we're going to talk about Judaism and anti-Semitism and Israel, and you ended up giving us a great scoop. Not only about Ron DeSantis' plans to run for president or not to run for president, but about the kind of guy that he is. And I'm very, very impressed. You told me things that I didn't know about him, and most likely my audience didn't know about him either. And I love Trump, and I like DeSantis a lot. I like them both. And I guess it doesn't really matter who's going to run as far as the Democrats are concerned, because the Democrats and the media, the lapdog media, as I call them, are going to just be guns and knives out for either one of them. Which leads me to my next question. As powerful and as resourceful as Israel is, it still remains completely dependent on the goodwill of the American people and the strategic needs of the American government. In the old days, Israel could depend on strong support from both the Democrats and the Republicans, But now it seems like it's become a partisan political issue. Heck, most American Jews, the left-leaning ones like the ones you told me about, they don't seem to care much about Israel either. Many of them openly attack it, and the rest want nothing to do with it. Where does this leave the one and only Jewish state?
No, unfortunately, one of the two parties, I'm not saying this as a political statement, just as a fact as I understand it, Democratic Party has a dozen or more members who are hostile to Israel, and what's worse, they don't attack them. When I testified before the House Judiciary Committee on hate, Jerry Nadler is the chairman. I know him. He's a Jew.
Yeah.
When I started speaking about Ilhan Omar and Tlaib and AOC and how they're not being condemned, he mounted his cavil and said, your time is up. Stop me. This is a Jew. He stopped me from speaking. So, and the Republican Party is much more supportive of Israel. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
By the way, 20 years ago, it was the opposite. The Democrats are much more supportive of Israel. Republicans were not. You know, the Democrats have been infused with these left-wing people who have hostility to Israel and Jews. And there's been no pushback against them. And let me tell you, even really good members of that party on Israel have moved to the left on Israel because they feel they're forced to by the politics of their party. So until we get leaders in that party condemning strongly the racists in that party and the Jew haters, it's going to grow and fester. And I'm very, very worried about it. So that is, of course, a concern of mine. And also this whole woke business, critical race theory, which is anti-Semitic and...
Well, it's anti-white, it's anti-Christian, it's anti-tradition.
It's anti all of that. That's right. But we need to elect people who fight against it. And if we don't do that, this country is going to continue to decline and become more and more filled with hate. It's a dangerous time.
Morton, I think that you're right. These are scary times for America because the American dream, and I'm going to delve into something a little different just for a short time. The American dream is in a deep self-inflicted decline as far as I'm concerned. The progressive left seems to be driving us off a cliff on purpose. How do you see America in the next decade?
I don't really talk about this publicly. I'm all about Israel and Jews. It's my job.
Yeah.
I think there's something sinister going on, an attempt to transform America. Barack Hussein Obama said it when he was inaugurated.
Yeah.
This was the beginning of the transformation of America. And I said, when I watched them, what? America's wonderful. Of course, on the margins, you can always improve things. Basically, it's a wonderful country. We all have opportunities. Look, I came here. I only spoke Yiddish. I didn't speak English. My parents, in my home, I spoke only Yiddish.
Wow.
We had no money. I lived in all really poor black neighborhoods. We never had a car, no vacation. But simply by my studying hard and working hard and doing my best and a little bit of luck, you know, you can have a beautiful life in America. They want to undermine America, move it toward a socialist communist country. And people like George Soros are pushing that. And by the way, ADL, the anti-defamation, defends George Soros, says anyone who attacks him is an anti-Semite. No, he happens to be Jewish. I attack him. I attack him for what he does and his policies, not because he's Jewish. It's irrelevant. And yet he gets defense because I think he probably gives them money. So I think there's something sinister to undermine America as a strong military country where people have incredible opportunities. And we need leaders to come out and speak out and say these things. Right now, we have almost none who want to say this because they're afraid of being called a racist and things of that nature. I've been called that. I can tell you, you can survive even though you're called that.
I've been called that many times. And
you've been called that.
As you can tell, I think I have a little bit of a brown tint to my skin. So I think I am a minority as well. So I also came to America at 13. I lived in a trailer park with my grandma, who was a Holocaust survivor herself. She survived Auschwitz. And I've been very lucky. And that's why I love this country so much. It's been really good to me and my family. It's given me everything that I have. And that's why I fight for it. That's why I believe in it so much. Now, switching topics, or rather going back to other topics, I asked you about America's decline. Now, I want to ask you a little bit about Israel. Israel seems to have its own problems with a population that seems to be split fairly evenly between the left and the right. I asked you about America in 10 years. Where do you see Israel in the next 10 years?
Actually, there's more right-of-center Jews than left-of-center. The Arab Party makes up another part of the left. And as Donald Trump said, Israel keeps having elections and nobody gets elected. They really have to change their electoral system. You can't have this. It's just awful. So, I mean, Naftali Bennett made a terrible mistake bringing in an anti-Israel party, Ra'am. They're really the Muslim Brotherhood. And I know Naftali Bennett. I thought he'd never do this. I guess the allure of power was too strong. And he wasn't able to even fight back against Gaza. There's all sorts of things he didn't do because Ra'am said we'd leave. Because if they leave, the government comes down. They only had a one seat advantage. And Netanyahu, I will tell you, is not a strong right of center guy. During 12 years, he hasn't built a single community in Judea and Samaria. He publicly made speeches supporting a Palestinian state. So I don't think he's the strongest. The strongest really are Smotrich and Ben-Gavir. Now, it's interesting. Ben-Gavir is being attacked even by friends of Israel, Menendez and Brad Sherman, interfering in the Israeli election. Don't you let him in the government. Ben-Gavir simply is saying, if you're a terrorist, death penalty. If it's clear that you're not loyal to the state as a Jewish state, we're going to deport you. Because Israel's lived in misery from terrorism since its refounding in 1948. That's all he's saying. And now the UAE foreign minister has condemned Israel. Don't you allow Gavir and Smotrich in the government. Now, isn't it amazing? They condemn these people who really have said nothing other than the truth. They never say anything about Mahmoud Abbas, who pays people to murder Jews, who names hundreds of schools and streets and sports teams after Jew killers. That's okay. Gavir, he's an extremist. Isn't it remarkable? So it is high time for the Israelis to tell the truth of the Arab Islamic war against Israel in the West and the truth of the terrorist dictators that are running many of these countries, including the Palestinian Authority.
Look, I don't get too involved or too deeply involved in Israeli politics because I don't know a lot about them. And plus, because I am an American living in America. But I seem to remember a guy many years ago whom I never liked until I grew up. His name was Meir Kahana, and they treated him very similar to the way they're treating these guys right now in Israel, and they're treating Trump the same way here in America. They're trying to erase him. They're trying to get rid of him. They're trying to call him a racist and every other name in the book, when he's clearly not any of those things. So that's politics.
Look, Deborah Lipstadt, our envoy on anti-Semitism, former professor at Emory, has called Trump a Nazi and compared him to Nazis and compared this administration to Goebbels and the Nazi administration. Deborah Lipstadt.
Well, doesn't Trump have a Jewish daughter and Jewish grandchildren? Last time I checked.
Orthodox Jewish, more religious than any of my Jewish friends. And they go to Jewish day school, Ramaz, and they call him an anti-Semite. And, you know, one of the ugliest lies that Biden and others have said is that he called Nazis in Charlottesville, that they're fine people among them. He said there are fine people among those who want the Robert Lee statue down and those who want to keep it up. And the next sentence, he said, and of course, I don't mean neo-Nazis and white supremacists. They're condemnable. He condemned them explicitly, and yet they keep claiming he called Nazis fine people. A total lie.
Well, that's our news media, and there's no truth out there. We all know that. And what is it? History is controlled by those who write it. Mr. Klein, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. I truly appreciate your candor and your unwavering patriotism. Now, I want to ask you about something you told me earlier. I know that your organization, the ZOA, has an important gala coming up with some very special people attending. Could you tell our audience a little bit about it?
We're the first Jewish organization to give an award to the greatest friend Israel ever had in the White House, President Donald J. Trump. He's getting the Theodore Herzl Gold Medallion presented to him by Miri Adelson, the widow of Sheldon Adelson. And we have Kevin McCarthy, who's the House Minority Leader. If the Republicans win the House, he'll be Speaker of the House. Jason Greenblatt, we're giving him an award. He's one of the architects of the Abraham Accords, this great deal, making relations closer with Israel and UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, Somalia, Morocco, Saudi Arabia. Tremendous. Trump should have gotten the Nobel Peace Prize for this extraordinary achievement, and yet that didn't happen. We're having General Avivi, one of the great Israeli generals as well. Alan Dershowitz will be giving out one of the awards. You know, the tickets are limited. We only have room for 1,000. And you go to our website, zoa.org, and find out all the information. And it'll be really a special night. I'm proud to be saying to President Trump, for what he's done for Israel and for Jews, thank you. That's all we're doing. Thank you for what done for Israel. Any other issue? That's not our issue. That's not what we deal with. And I've already been attacked in the Israeli media by Haaretz, the Jerusalem Post, JT, a Jewish telegraphing agency, have already called me a far right wing extremist because I'm honoring the greatest friend we've ever had in the United States for Israel. Imagine that makes me a far right wing. By the way, they just call me names. They never say anything we do or say why it's far right wing, because it's not. We haven't done or said anything that's far right wing. So I look forward to seeing as many of you there. And are you in San Francisco?
I live in San Francisco, yes.
A bit of a trek. So it'll be in Manhattan in New York City.
Well, maybe next year, I'll get an invitation. I'll be glad to attend.
You have an invitation right now. Just let me know.
Now, just so you know, there's a lot of Israelis that I've spoken to, including Ruthie Bloom, who I interviewed a couple of months ago, who absolutely agrees with you. So you're not alone.
She wrote it. She wrote an article saying that.
Oh, she did. There you go.
Yes,
well, she's an excellent writer, and hopefully we'll have Caroline Glick on our show as well.
She's going to be at our dinner.
Great. Very smart lady. A lot of great ladies there, and the president, of course. Morton, I have a final question for you. I was wondering if you have a final message for the wonderful audience of the AJ Steele Show.
I haven't thought about this, but you gave me 3 seconds. It's enough time. A closing message I would say is never allow evil and evil people to be able to continue without consequences, without negative consequences. Never be shosh still Jews. Never be Jews of silence or people of silence. When you see wrongs, speak out. Don't be afraid. Speak out and don't let it fester, and because that'll only allow it to continue to grow. You have to stop evil and inappropriate hatred in its tracks. That's my message. Write articles, write letters, give speeches, talk to your members of the House and Senate to speak out against the evil and wrongs that are being done in our society against any people, and make sure there are consequences, negative consequences to people who are doing wrong. That's the only message that I would give, and I think it's an important one. Never again, the shosh still Jews, never again.
Morton Klein, thank you so much for coming on the AJ Steele Show. It's been a great honor of mine and a pleasure speaking with you. I wish you great success with your mission, and I will always continue watching and admiring your good work.
So kind of you. I don't get too many nice comments made. Thank you for inspiring me and giving me strength. I appreciate it very much. And thank you for having a program that allows people to tell the whole truth. That's becoming more and more difficult in this cancel culture era we're living in.
All I really want to be is a guy that gets the girl. All I really want to be. All I really want to be is a guy that gets the girl.
The AJ Steele Show, copyrighted 2022.